don't understand what the problem is here.
With Carmichael Dave, Katie Christensen, and Nate Goodyear.
New morning, team.
Put the top down. Rev your engine.
Say, what goes on this morning?
Welcome to the drive.
I don't know if I want to say, wow, I really respect that about you, or if I want to say, gosh, that is so stupid.
Come on, man. Wake the up. The drive.
His mouth.
Here we go with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
That keg is almost tapped.
Yes.
And they're going to get every last drop out of it.
Broadcasting live from the Coors Light Studios. Coors Light, with great beer comes great responsibility. Now the drive continues with Dave, Katie, and Nate.
Thank you as always for joining us today. You can join us tomorrow for the NBA draft. Thursday, 4 o'clock, Firestone Public House, 16th Street, downtown Sacramento. Grant Napier will be broadcasting out there live, and I'm sure some of us will try to hijack his broadcast, have a little fun. Appearances from Sacramento Kings dancers, Slamson, and giveaways. For more info, visit KHK.com. Bottom of the hour, we will also give you a chance to win a VIP Kings draft party experience. It's always packed out there, guys. So having a reserved seat for you and your friends is a huge deal. And we'll throw in $150 in food and beverages, courtesy of Firestone Public House. So that's a cool prize. Yeah. We'll be doing that a little bit later as well. Dave, Katie, and Nate. Jay behind the glass. And, of course, it is a Horse Wednesday, Katie Christensen.
So this is interesting to me. Okay, so horse hooves are made from the same protein that comprises human hair and fingernails.
Yeah.
And so you know, a human being, when they pass away.
Yeah.
Apparently, their fingernails and hair continue to grow after death.
Ew.
Yeah, so I'm wondering if horse hooves do.
All I know is this. Anytime anybody says horse hooves to me now, I'm sad because it's in Jell-O.
Oh.
And I didn't know that until like a month ago, that Jell-O has horse hooves in it.
But here's the thing. Like, you know, Native Americans were very, very good at using every part of the animal.
Yeah.
Like, they made use of everything. So is it a bad thing, or is it just hard for you in your head?
Me in my head. Okay. I'm sure it's a great thing. I'm sure horse hooves have tons of nutritional value. I don't know.
Eat them up.
Just not
fry
into,
me up,
you
know, some hooves, man.
And what did you, and that didn't that get us last time into the conversation about you use a squirrel on your face?
I don't use a squirrel.
It's 100% correct.
I don't use a squirrel on my face.
What?
I have a makeup brush that is made of
squirrel
hair. It's extremely soft.
That's weird.
Yeah.
So literally you use
but
a squirrel on your
it's
face.
Like, it's by MAC. I always feel like I have to say this because I like don't like to use makeup that is like animal tested or so on and so forth. Like, I don't know. That's my thing.
Animals
but
four.
Some poor tailless squirrel out there is rolling around so you can look good.
But this is one of the things where it's not like they just raise. I don't know how it works, but MAC has this thing where they're like, we don't do any testing or whatever. They take the hair, they release the squirrel. It's not like they're in cages just growing hair. I don't know.
You
but
know,
anyway,
there's not a squirrel farm somewhere
where
they
know.
Lop
there's
off
a,
the
there's
tail.
There's a squirrel outside the studio that I'm like, maybe that was one of the MAC squirrels.
That'll be on your face.
It's got like no hair on its tail right now.
Yeah, I'm a MAC squirrel. Get all the ladies. Chris, you're on KHDK.
Good morning, Dave, Katie, Nate.
Hi.
Good morning.
So, Katie, you being through the game, I just had a question for you guys real quick. For this NBA draft coming up, do you feel like players should – I call it the Charles Barkley complaint, because he always say players should stay another 2 to 3 years to polish up their game. What is your guys' take on that?
My personal take is I think there's a number of reasons why it benefits kids to stay in school, and I know exactly what Nate and Dave are going to say, so let me just make my argument against them right now. I think that it's better for their game. They develop more because defense is not something that you spend a ton of time on in the NBA for numerous reasons in terms of like the time you have for practice and so on and so forth. But defense is something in the NBA that I think is kind of gradually declining more and more because of this. And I think it's a detriment to the game. and that players, if they want to make a long, you know, have a long career in the NBA, it benefits them to be a more well-rounded player and do some of the things that maybe other guys aren't doing, like defense. And I just think overall it's better for them to develop their game and their understanding of the game. I think we get too many guys coming in out of college that just because of, and again, this goes to a broader topic, but I think AAU is kind of ruining players right now because they're not teaching them anything, in my opinion. They're basically just farming them out to get everything that they can possibly get out of them to win and to make money. The colleges go, they do the same thing. They're just, they're going to have a year with these guys. They don't spend a ton of time developing them. They just want to squeeze everything they can out of them. And then they release them to the NBA where, guess what? They're not developed to the degree that I wish they were.
I agree with you 100%. I do.
But your argument is like,
yeah,
who,
I do too. I just wouldn't
legislate
anything against it. That's all. And I mean, I think you could also point to, I mean, there are just as many guys. I think if you're going to fail, you're going to fail. And it doesn't matter how many years you spend in college.
Thanks, Chris.
You know, Chris.
No, go ahead. I was just saying.
You know, I think of Ben McLemore is a good example. I mean, if he wasn't forced to stay in college, he probably would have come out of high school. And it's not like he didn't go to a place. Like, I would say that Bill Self, out of all of the college coaches, he probably put some time into Ben McLemore and probably in his 1 year there tried to teach him the fundamentals of the game, tried to teach him basketball IQ, how to play with four other dudes on the floor and how to play defense.
Guys need more of it.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like, it didn't take. And I don't know that 4 years there would have made it take for him. Right?
Well, same thing with Thomas Robinson, another Kansas guy.
I use Bill Self as the example, not because those guys are kings, but because, like, I think Bill Self is—he's not John Calipari.
No.
All right? He's not trying to rifle guys in and out in 1 year. So I think he has a vested interest in trying to create a five-man team that is sustainable. And when a guy like Thomas Robinson or Ben McLemore leaves— I don't know. They fail not because of what Bill Self did for a year.
No, I agree with that, too. That's the thing. It depends on the player. There are some players that it doesn't benefit them to stay in college. If you're a guy that's at the top of the game and you've learned pretty much all you can in college and you're not getting better because you're not playing against better competition.
Right, like, there was no reason for LeBron to go to college.
No reason. And there was, and I don't know what an extra year would have done for Karl Anthony Towns.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but those are exceptions to the rule, of course. I think you and I both agree with every single thing Katie said, yet we both are also at the same time. The market dictates it. If you are in college and you want to go to the NBA and you're going to get drafted and you're going to get paid and that's going to help your family and your life, yeah, and you don't want to take the risk at shattering your knee,
I just don't think you, as an athlete, you can't play scared all the time. You can't be worried about, you know, what possibly could happen. And I don't think at 18 or 19, sometimes 20, these guys coming out their first year, they're 20. I don't think they have the foresight to realize. They see dollar signs. They see what they see the NBA, something they've been dreaming. I don't think they have the foresight to say, hey, if I want to ensure that I have a successful, long NBA career, maybe it's more beneficial for me to stay in college 2-3 years and really work to improve my game.
I would, without having it right in front of me, I would venture a guess that there have been exactly zero players in NBA history that made more money by staying in college for 3 or 4 years. I mean, there might, I don't know. If you're going to be in the league, right? Number one, you're already setting yourself back by, let's see, what, missing 3 years of your rookie wage scale. So you've already lost that. You're 3 years behind. You jump in after a senior. Then you've got to get, what, 3 years at the rookie rate. So you've basically lost 7 years of decent pay.
I just think teams take players.
I was a little bit off.
It's an interesting thing you brought up, and I would disagree with you. I think so, because what we're discounting the player that came in as a freshman and wasn't great. All the college players through the years that have come in
they make their rookie salary, and then they're done.
A guy, though, that didn't have the option to go straight out of high school, like wouldn't have been able to, or even after his first year.
Well, I wonder if...
Because, yes, that guy makes more money.
Here's my question, though. Did Willie Cauley-Stein was drafted 8 last year. He was a senior or junior. Had he come out as a freshman, let's say, and he gets drafted 21st...
I think he would have gone higher than that if he came out as a freshman.
Higher than 21st?
Yeah, I want to go look back and look at that draft. So continue.
I don't want to get lost in that. Willie was just the first guy I could pick out of the top of my head. But I do believe that there, if we took the time, there are examples of guys that maybe struggled as a freshman and sophomore and improved throughout their 3 or 4 years, which vaulted them into a higher pick rather than coming in as a second rounder. Right. You've got to, and there's also the rules about, like we're seeing with Seth Curry, as far as free agency rules, being able to opt out and not. So I understand your point, though, even if I disagree with part of it. It's like if I have a business, if I'm building a business, and let's say you and I, we all three came up with this awesome app, and some big company wanted to come buy it. Well, maybe we know and we have the vision for this app, and maybe it would be smarter and in the long run, instead of getting, you know, 100 million now, maybe in 7 years we get 500 million, okay? But for me and for us as a company, as a young company, we go, you know what? I want to cash out, yeah, man. I want to cash out. I don't want to take the risk that somebody else is going to build a better app. I don't want to take the risk that the market's going to pass us by. I have a hard time telling an NBA player that's going to make millions of dollars in the NBA, dude, you need to wait and stay in college another couple of years, because we can't trust the big, fat, stupid owners to control themselves and not take chances on you as a young player.
Well, and what we haven't talked about is kind of the other side in terms of the teams. NBA teams right now, especially lottery, when you're in the lottery, they're taking guys that have a ton of potential.
Yeah.
How do you weigh potential on athleticism?
Well, I don't know, but if you're doing that, isn't it costing the upperclassmen money?
What?
Right? Like if you, by the admission that guys are going for the high potential dudes, the 19-year-olds, whatever, you're costing yourself money by staying in school, right?
I think there's some cases. Look at Denzel
Valentine more often than not.
Denzel Valentine coming out of Michigan State. And I'm not necessarily saying he would have gone higher, but one of the biggest knocks on Denzel Valentine is that he's 22 years old. Mm-hmm. Hey, this is his ceiling. We're so used to the cream of the crop in the draft being freshman, sophomore, mm-hmm, at most juniors. When you have a senior come out that maybe just did what Katie said, just wanted to stay in.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the knock then is, well, this is as good as he's going to get. They bet on the potential more than they bet on the sure thing.
Yeah, because I'd like to go back to Willie. After his freshman year, you've still got a 7-foot center that, sure, can jump out of the gym. Here's some of the names that were drafted that. Anthony Bennett went number one. Oladipo, number two. Otto Porter, Cody Zeller, Alex Len, Nerlens Noel, Ben McLemore, Caldwell Pope, Trey Burke, CJ. Out of those 10 guys, like, I think you fit a 7-footer with pogo sticks for legs. So
maybe
he might have cost himself money by hanging around.
He actually might have.
I don't know. I guess I'm never going to resolve this.
Somebody on the text line says Buddy Hield. Buddy Hield might be a great example of a guy who's now going to probably be, I think at worst, an 8 pick.
Mm-hmm.
He's not going below the Kings. So he's a top 8 pick and a guy that developed throughout the years.
I didn't know his name last year.
Sure. Neither did I.
So that's, point for Katie.
I think I'm more of a purist in the sense that I look at the game. And we hear a lot during the season, we've heard it a ton this year about, oh, the NBA is watered down. It's not what it used to be. These are the old timers, Charles Barkley, so on and so forth, saying that the talent level is watered down in the NBA. And where I don't know if I can 100% get on board with that, I think that the game has digressed in several ways because of the fact that you're taking such young kids, and teams are taking risk on people because the risk reward, they're hoping for the payoff, right? They're hoping that this guy that they can develop. But the tough thing about the NBA, based on the schedule and the practice and all this stuff, developing someone is a long process. It's not something like college. You play a couple games a week. You practice every other day of the week. You have a ton of time in terms of practice and development and all of these things to get them put together. So I just think that the product is getting a little bit, it's damaging the product. And I'm a purist. So I want to see more defense. I want to see more team play. And you just don't see guys that come out and are lockdown defenders, or even guys that I specifically remember Amari Stoudemire in Phoenix when, Terry Porter came in as the coach. Was it Terry Porter?
Not sure. Maybe. Let's say it's Terry Porter.
Yeah, I think it was Terry Porter after D'Antoni left. Anyway, he came in and it was like, oh, we're going to play defense. Amari Stoudemire in training camp had a pen and a pad. He didn't even know simple defense terminology.
Ugh.
Because he came out of high school, if I remember correctly.
He did.
Did not. This is the NBA. It's like they don't even know that. They don't know simple NBA terminology because guess what? Some people, some teams don't really play a lot of defense. We saw it last year with the Kings.
So other than hearing that, like how does that manifest itself? Like that it actually makes the game worse. You have a team in the Warriors this year that set an all-time regular season wins record and couldn't even win the title. They barely made it out of their own conference. There are four playoff teams in the West that had over 50 wins.
The league is on scoring, not defending.
You've got all eight playoff teams in the East that had winning records, yet we talk about how deep the West is. Like, is it... You don't see enough defense? Like, that's what it is for you?
Yeah,
because to me, the NBA
is
at an all-time high.
Yeah, because guess what? The NBA has made rules, instituted them, because they want to see scoring. They want to see the fast pace,
Is your problem with 19-year-old kids, or is it with the rules of the NBA? Is it with the owners that draft these kids?
Like, where's your real issue? All of it. I have an issue with all of it.
Quit your job for crying out loud, Christensen.
Quit my job. I report on what's going on. This job right here, sitting in here, right? I'm not saying that.
Stinks. You and Charles Barkley.
Gosh, we're going to have to go back. Again, because this happened yesterday, too. Go back and actually listen to what I said. I said I can't completely subscribe to the theory that the NBA is watered down.
But I feel like
I'm more of a purist in the sense that a lot of these guys don't know the game from a technical sense. And I appreciate the basketball from a technical sense. I love the run and gun. I love the high scoring. I don't like illegal defense. I don't like these things that are basically saying, don't play good defense because we want to see more scoring. We want to see more dunking. And guess what? When you're telling your players that by putting rules in the game, you're also saying, guess what? Defense isn't important. But in my opinion, defense is very important in basketball.
Well, obviously
and it's
it is.
A beautiful thing when it's done right.
The Cavaliers won because they held the Warriors to 13 points in the fourth quarter of Game 7. It's still all about defense. You've got an all-time great offensive team that got held to 89 points.
Yeah, and it comes into the playoffs. And that's when people complain about, oh, the officials and so on and so forth, and they're not calling foul. Well, guess what? They shouldn't be babying them through the entire season. They don't play defense, so they have to, how the game is called, they're calling fouls because it's like, okay, you get one team that's physical and playing defense how you should and up in their drawers, and you got to call fouls because guess what? The other team's not doing that.
Here's Chris Dunn on what team he fits with the best. Chris.
I don't have a particular team that I feel like I could fit best at. I just feel like what I could bring to any team that I go to, I feel like I can impact in a certain way. And I think my greatest strength is defense, and that's what I'm going to try to do when I come in to any team that picks me on Thursday. I'm going to be blessed, you know, just to be able to make my dream come true and have that opportunity.
All right, so here we go. They went at it for the last 10 minutes. We have a new segment that they didn't even know we were going to do here. It's basically when we get at a stalemate on a subject, let's just sit back, relax, let these two go at it. Here you go, Jay, hit the pop.
It's time to square up. All contestants, protect yourselves at all times, and good luck.
All right. Both of you were yammering for about 10 minutes there back and forth. It's a good debate, and the debate specifically is, as we often get into, whether or not it is good for the NBA and whether or not it should be the case.
Who was the sound you just played? Was that Chris Dunn?
That was Chris Dunn.
Okay.
All right. What we got, 30 seconds each? All right, Katie, you're first. Make your point and go.
I love the fact that Chris Dunn is coming out and saying, hey, I want to play defense. That is a strong point for me. I'm going to make my name on defense. I hate to break it to this young fella. It's not going to matter because he's going to come in and he's going to try and play defense. And he might be a great lockdown defender, but the NBA is telling the rest of the four players on the court that defense doesn't matter. So because they're saying that, the other four people playing alongside him, they're not going to be there to help him. So his great one-on-one defense is going to be great until, guess what? He's going to get beat and no one's going to be there to help him because the NBA is saying, hey, we don't care about defense.
Nate?
Do I get to go now?
Absolutely.
Don't care about defense. Kevin Love didn't need four guys to help him lock down Steph Curry for the final two possessions of that game. This game is all about defense. The greatest offensive team ever scored 89 points in a finals game, for crying out loud. You tell me if defense doesn't matter, what the league's saying to who, because that's what it's all about.
That's Nate's turn.
My time's up.
Just kill it. It's not up. Right. Is that it? You got 10 seconds.
Got 10 more
seconds. We'll use the last 7 seconds for whatever you want.
No, that's it.
Talk about your beard.
So, yeah, you're going to go below the belt on it.
Wow.
Come on.
I don't know. There's personal foul interruption on Katie.
I'm going to sulk about it.
That's a 10-yard penalty. David, in Yuba City, home of the Honkers, you're on the drive.
Yes. Thanks for taking my call. I was privileged to be a student at UCLA from 67 through med school in 74. And I'm coming out of my chair about these comments that players don't get better when they stay longer. As you remember, back in the day, they had to play freshman ball. And I saw a ton of players come through. Now, granted, the coach was John Wooden, but I saw a ton of players who would not have had successful NBA careers had they not stayed. Every single one I saw, even the great ones like Lew Alcindor, then Kareem Jabbar, the Bibbies, Walton, Wicks and Rowe, all of those guys would have had much less successful careers had they not stayed. They all got better, tremendously better.
The one I would take exception with is Kareem.
Kareem was not all that great as a freshman. I saw him. He was not that impressive.
He's one of the greatest high school players ever.
I know, but if you looked at him as a freshman, now the freshman team beat the varsity in the preseason.
Yeah.
But every year he got better. Now, could he have been better? Could he have been just as well if he stayed? But again, we're talking like the Kareems and the LeBrons. But if you look at people like these medium players like Wicks and Rowe, I remember Sidney Wicks, Sioux City player, and who's another one? Was Keith Wilkes, Jamal Wilkes. And again, lots of rings with the Lakers. Very good player as a freshman, but tremendous player as a senior. So,
David, I don't think that the debate here, though, neither Nate or I are saying that you won't improve in college more often than not, and even 95% of the time, like you said, with the exception of the LeBrons and the Lew Alcindors. I think what Nate and I are both saying is that despite that fact, if an NBA team will draft you, and it makes financial sense for you and your family to leave, that's on the NBA owners. That's not on the players. And the players should not be barred from entering whenever they wish, as long as they're 18 years old. That's on the owners. That's not on the players, regardless if they improve in college or not. That's our point. Nobody's doubting what you're saying. It's just they should have the right to enter once they're 18. And Katie's point, David, to not to cut you off, but and what Katie's saying is that it's a detriment to the game. The game has become watered down because we have this influx of uneducated and undeveloped players that are rushing into the league that never really get, like Amari Stoudemire, that education on certain fundamental points like defense.
And I'm not saying watered down either. I think that term is a bad one. I'm saying it's a detriment to the game.
Right.
It's not, the game could be better. And where I say the NBA doesn't care about defense, okay, yeah, they care about defense in the playoffs. And that's when you talk, defense is going to be much tougher in the playoffs. The refs are going to let you play. But the reality of the situation is when you have things like illegal defense, what they're saying is we value one-on-one basketball more than we value good team basketball.
Which side are you on? 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll do that when we get back. Wrap that up. Draymond Green, how did he unwind after the NBA Finals yesterday? We'll answer that question. It's The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.
You make it look like it's magic.
And they said that...
love this song.
The mothers forgot about Draymond Green. They didn't. TMZ was after him yesterday as he was unwinding at the Ace of Diamonds in Los Angeles. If you're not familiar with that place, that's a strip club.
It goes down in there, too. Let me be the first one to tell you.
Wow.
Ace Some of experience with that.
Ooh, especially on a Sunday.
Sunday
and a Monday.
I'm assuming that's
a Sunday and a Monday more special at this place.
I think they try to do it on purpose because you have less competition, you know, in Los Angeles. So especially on Mondays, the Ace of Diamond Mondays. Oh, it's famous. It's world famous.
What kind of specials
do they offer?
Also the prime rib buffet.
Yeah, it's for the buffet, of course.
The ribs
and the finger foods are fantastic.
The finger foods. The finger foods are fantastic at the strip club.
Lots of meat. The ribs are cheap, but you got to get them from the inside.
My favorite part about this story with Draymond Green. I'm not listening.
Go, Katie.
My favorite part about this story with Draymond Green is I have no problem with hey, if you want to go to a strip club and that's how you want to spend your money to have a good time, more power to you. His quote was, "Strippers make me feel better."
Yeah.
Damn right.
Hey, you know what? Good for him. I don't begrudge him. He's young. He's single.
Hey.
Go get yourself a stripper.
I mean, there's worse things that can make you feel better. At least, you know, he's not taking illegal drugs.
No.
He's not, you know, maybe. Not that it's better than.
I'm just thinking about how intoxicating it is to inhale a stripper, but that's just me.
Right.
Inhale it a could stripper. Be. Because
Nobody?
They use perfumes,
no, I'm with
right?
you.
Okay. Like, what?
Some expense. I mean,
like
that's
Mad
what
Love.
Whatever
or...
it is, that's what you're paying for.
You think it's to get they paid him for lap dances, he just pays him to kick him in the junk?
On accident.
You think he kicks out during a lap dance?
Sorry, it's part of my natural motion.
We need that. We need that sounder. And she can't stop.
You know what? Dave, whenever my laugh goes to that level, you should feel very good about yourself.
Yeah.
You made a funny. Okay.
Guess.
If my
no,
laugh goes to that level,
good.
You made a funny.
Speaking of
get your Monday strip club on. I mean there's a part of me because I just like moved out to you know, out there in an area. Where, yeah, I mean, kind of. There's a, I forget what the place is called, but basically my
jail.
Point is, yeah,
jail.
Every time, daytime during a week that I drive by a strip club.
Oh, God.
Like, there's always just a part of me that's just like, what's going on?
It's like
there?
A bar at 7 a.m. There's just all kinds of lowered expectations. Mm-hmm. And
oh, I figured
I mean,
for
it's
sure
not that
yours
like,
was like, there's
no,
a
it
lot
is.
Of
I'm,
reasons.
I'm curious.
Do you come up with reasons not to stop? Are you one of those that has to convince themselves of the reasons why they should not stop because their instinct is saying pull over right now?
Usually I just got to look in my wallet.
And take in the smell because that's what you go for,
it's
right?
Just
anytime it's like a wet mop.
Anytime I've ever been in a strip club in the daytime or a bar before 10 a.m., I always look around and I hear my dad's voice in my head when I was 14 going, if you don't study, I mean, that's really what,
right.
That's what I hear in my head. These are all cautionary tales.
Yes. That's, you know, that's the old joke about
I mean, no
being
offense.
In Weaverville actually. And Katie can probably relate to it to some degree. Like a couple of times a year, you go back to Weaverville, whether it's 4th of July is one of them, Christmas and Thanksgiving, and then there used to be a big softball tournament over Memorial Day weekend. And people would come there for one of those four times a year, if not multiples. And the place is just a party central. The
sure.
bars are packed shoulder to shoulder with, it's insane. And people are just like, oh my God, like we could do this year round. This place is awesome. And my buddy Doc, who has, you know, since drank himself gone. he used to tell us, he's like, yeah, it sounds great. And then you sit in here on a January on a Tuesday night and you look around and you think, oh my God, like you look down at one end of the bar, you look at the other and you realize this is me.
Yeah. It is you.
I am these people.
That's
now.
Who you are.
Like, it's a lot
that.
Of fun
you
until a Tuesday night in January.
Anytime.
Yeah, it is.
Anywhere you're at, mm-hmm. you can do that all the time.
Well, we have Palm Street Pub right down in Carmichael, and right before Thanksgiving, right before Christmas, usually the day before each, it's always like a high school reunion there.
Oh, yeah.
People have been going there forever.
Best place on the planet.
So it must be everywhere.
Show up in February, though, on Monday morning. Tell
Not
me
happening.
What you think.
Not happening. A couple things here that we have to get to. First off, you know, we had a conversation about the intersection of with Russell Wilson and Tim Tebow yesterday, intersection of religion and sports. And obviously those are passionate topics and we're going to stay fun today. So we can talk about politics, you know, with Trump and Hillary and all that. And, you know, even Bernie Sanders still in the race, depending on which way you lean, righty and lefty. One guy that hasn't really weighed in thus far is a guy I think we all need to look to when we decide how to cast our ballot in November, and that would be Vin Scully. Vin?
Socialism failing to work as it always does, this time in Venezuela. You talk about giving everybody something free, and all of a sudden, there's no food to eat. And who do you think is the richest person in Venezuela? The daughter of Hugo Chavez. Hello. Anyway. 0-2.
That's the best part.
Hello.
Anyway, some thoughts there, Vin?
0-2. And relax. We just play Vinny stuff from when he goes off. Get out of, you know, Bernie feelers. What is it? Feel the burn? Burn feelers?
Sure.
Hey, what are you trying to say? It's Vin freaking Scully.
I've been to Venezuela.
No, see, I mean, you could either have the richest person be the daughter of the guy, or the richest people can be all of the oligarchs that actually run our country or whatever.
Venezuela, and one of the one thing I remember there is that gas is like ridiculously cheap. Mm-hmm. Like cents. Like they'd be like buying.
That's why we have a lot of issues with them, Katie.
It'd be like buying a gallon of gas here for like 25 cents a gallon.
Yeah.
And so you look at it and you're like, there's some serious issues in their country. If they just, could you find a way? Because they own their gas. That's why it's like the,
right.
Yeah. So, okay. As a country, if you're not going to make money off of your gas, which you own and you're selling it for dirt cheap, then is that you?
No.
Is that,
that
you?
Was Nate.
No,
oh my God!
Me.
Which one?
It was not.
It was my mouth.
I claim it.
Oh, okay,
that's what I did.
But no, I mean, all right. Here you go. Raise the gas prices and use the money that you make to actually help with some of the issues of poor people in your country. I don't know.
See,
maybe me and Vin need
just
to have
one
a
minor
talk.
Thing. I mean,
Christensen,
me just,
Goodyear, 2000. I just really wanted to do the Vin Scully quote.
I love it
because now we're doing the thing.
I mean, it's important because like we can. I don't really care if you're on. Either side of it. Like,
sure.
We can all agree that the one person that would win if they entered the race tomorrow is The Rock.
Absolutely, 100%.
Oh, I thought it would be Kanye West.
No.
No, but
The Rock, dude.
Johnson West, 2016.
Or you put, like, how about The Rock and John Cena? You're telling me that they wouldn't clean house in the election?
Yeah,
maybe that's a fun thing we can do as the elections approach. We can do athletes or, I don't know, let's keep it with athletes.
The problem is that The Rock and John Cena would run on the GOP ticket, and then right when they got elected at their inauguration, they'd turn Democrat in front of everybody and be like, what you got
is
now?
Is that... Oh, my God, it is. That's the liberals' music. Exactly. Oh, my God, that's God as my witness.
Or switch it. They'd run as Democrats, and they'd switch to the Republicans, you know. You got the one hand, you have the Soviet anthem playing for one switch. The other, you just have the sound of I don't know, I'm trying to think of something GOP-y that's not going to piss people off. But you get you get the point. By the way. Something I found out till a few years ago. You guys know what the GOP stands for?
Grand Old Party.
Grand Old Party, yeah. See, I was surprised that I
thought
that was something else.
Well, it's amazing that you learned what GOP stands for before you learned what a urethra is for a woman.
Wow, we're bringing that. Jay, you see, when you first came to the show, Jay, you thought I was the loose cannon. And old Christensen over here.
I'm just saying that's basic anatomy. You're 40 years old. How do you not know that?
I know anatomy. I've just, like I said, I've never spelunked. I don't care. It doesn't matter to me.
Sorry, I
laws and sausages. I don't want to see how they're made. We'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll finish out the show. We'll give you VIP Kings draft party tickets for the two you left listening. It's The Drive. Sports 1140 KHDK. Up the place, turn up the place, and make them all have fun. How we ablaze the fire, make it fun. Then we must up the place, turn up the place, and make some fun. Not only did Chris Dunn talk about which team he fits with best, he also commented as to, if he was on Golden State, how they would have done in the finals.
If you would have been on the Golden State Warriors, say you're a member of the Golden State Warriors, would they have won Game 7, Chris Dunn?
I mean, I feel like we would. Because I'm another defender out there.
So there's Chris Dunn. He would have switched the finals for the Warriors.
He walked into the trap. He's a rookie.
He sure did. That
hey,
is...
the answer's always yes. Give the guy a break.
The answer can be like, man, that's a what if. I don't deal in what ifs.
Chris Dunn's the missing piece, Katie, and for him to declare otherwise, I think, would be an injustice to his future career.
11th caller at 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mm-hmm. Katie's just
a little bit more. Get your teeth on it.
Eating a banana. You and three guests. I mean, she's literally eating a banana. You and three guests will. There's no joke there. I'm just commenting
she's eating
that she's
a banana.
Eating a banana. You and three guests will.
It is very important.
I think she's actually trying to see exactly how much of that she can get in her mouth.
I'm just
Hold on. I wasn't even trying to be like
them today, she just keeps
taking. I'm saying she just keeps taking bite after bite after bite.
That's how you eat a banana.
Yeah, but right. I haven't seen you swallow.
I'm really not trying to do this.
He's really trying to walk himself out of this, and he just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper in.
Yeah, he's like the Chris Dunn of the show.
No, I did it too.
You and three guests will have special seating at Firestone Public House this Thursday for the 2016 NBA Draft. Hey, Kings, we apologize. Plus $150 food and beverage tab, courtesy of Firestone Public House. You also receive cool swag from the Sacramento Kings. Very, very excited about that. 11th caller right now. That's a good prize. Here's Charles Barkley talking about the top five players he put out there.
The five greatest players, in my opinion, are Michael, Oscar Robertson, Bill Russell, Kareem, and Wilt. I had Kobe at six. I got Tim Duncan at seven. And then you got LeBron, but I'm not just going to automatically put LeBron past Kobe and Tim Duncan. Those guys got five world championships. LeBron has three.
So there you go.
Kobe.
There's.
Like, do you realize? I mean, depending on whichever sort of, say, advanced metric you want to use, like whether it's, let's just go with something like value over replacement. There was not one single year in Kobe Bryant's career where he was, by objective statistical analysis, the best player in the league.
Okay.
I'm just throwing that out
but
there.
This goes back to kind of the conversation we had the other day.
So if he's not the best player in the league at any point in his career, how you put him top six? How you put him ahead of LeBron James?
Because his career is finished.
I'm sorry. I know. I'm going in on Chuck.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. I think if LeBron James' career ended tomorrow he had a knee injury tomorrow and then he just wasn't the same and he played out, you know, 5-6 years down the line and he doesn't his numbers, everything, like he's just not the same guy because of an injury. Does that tarnish his career? His career is not over. We don't know what's going to happen. So do we automatically put someone that is currently in the middle of their career and say, top five for sure? His resume is not complete yet.
Also yesterday, or not yesterday, but over the last couple weeks, we talked a little bit about the controversy after UFC 199 with reporter Ariel Helwani getting his credentials taken from him, being thrown out before the main event for reporting Brock Lesnar was going to be a part of UFC 200. The UFC didn't like that. They booted him. They've since let him come back. Dana White with his first extensive public comments on that whole thing yesterday.
There's so much more to that thing than was represented. Sure. You know, I know he threw a big pity party for himself and all that, but there was a lot more to it. A lot more people were involved in that thing, and it almost blew up a huge relationship that I wouldn't even get into publicly.
Okay.
That's why we just came out with a statement. I don't know. It was dirty. He knows it was dirty. And he threw a big pity party for himself. Crying on camera.
What?
Just ridiculous. So it is what it is. None of that is going to change. You know, Ariel Helwani knows. I've done a lot of for Ariel Helwani. A lot of for Ariel Helwani. And it's just, you know,
man. Serious?
Huh?
That guy can go to hell.
That's Dana.
Dana White. What That's a Dana. Jerk. Like, how? Like he still obviously doesn't. I don't care what happened behind the scenes.
He's the lack he's of taking groin shots at Ariel. Like, can't
well, he's referring
one
to Ariel,
right after the other.
He's referring to Ariel the following Monday going on his show, the MMA Hour, his podcast, and Ariel got emotional at one point over what was going on, his treatment and all that, which, and I understand what you guys are saying, and I do consider, you know, I'm forgetting the term, but just to put it out there, although I consider Dana White to be a friend of mine, at the same time, he's 100% full of garbage. Ariel Helwani had every right to get emotional, not only because his entire career was on the line for doing his job,
right,
but as Ariel was being a class act and was discussing how he'd been treated, one of the things that he alluded to but didn't get into detail, you know what, I might get a little emotional too if part of my history at the UFC was being thrown up against a wall by a security guard of Lorenzo Fertitta's, one of the owners, because I asked a stupid question during a press conference where I was physically thrown up against a wall, which is exactly what happened to Ariel.
Was it a stupid question or was it just a question that Dana White did not approve of?
It was a question they didn't like, and it wasn't
exactly.
Dana, it was
so
Lorenzo.
Okay, so that's not a stupid question. That's doing your job, and your job as a as a journalist is not to ask the questions that are approved by said league or organization. That's not how you do your job. And for Dana to go out there right now on this interview and say there was a lot of stuff that happened that you don't know and I'm not going to talk about it publicly. Talk about it publicly. Defend yourself. Well, because now you look like a bully.
The relationship he was talking about that almost blew up was the WWE, who has a contract to Brock Lesnar. That's what he was referring to. Here's more on
I wouldn't say he's in decent graces. It's just what we built that promo, you know, and a lot of people were quiet about it. That thing's for the fans, for that wow factor to be there and go, oh, wow, Brock's back. And the way that he did it, it had a lot of people pointing fingers at each other. You know, people can call it journalism or whatever. We can have our differences of opinion on that. But he knows what he did. And he did it on purpose.
And what's funny,
he goes on thing and he's crying and
one more I want to fit in here real quick.
The bottom line is this. It was all about Ariel. Journalism is supposed to be when you're a guy that covers the sport, it's about the sport. That what we did, that spot and everything, was for the fans. And a lot of good people worked hard to pull that thing off and to make that thing happen and to try to keep it a secret, including the WWE. And a lot of things were set in place for them that had to be done. And it left a lot of people pointing the finger at each other. Created, almost blew up a relationship and created a lot of bad blood behind the scenes. And he didn't care. It was all about him. And then even after it was over, it was all about him and his big world tour pity party that he threw for himself.
If you think that he is wrong, if you're Dana White, why do you the next day go ahead and after giving him a lifetime ban of covering the sport, then the next day you take it back? That's not saying I'm right.
Your point stands. It was 3 days later, but your point absolutely stands. And the reason
right after your lifetime point stands. Ban, 3 days later.
Why it happened was the amount of pressure they got from outside. If it wasn't for that, he wouldn't have taken it back. There's more we can get into here. I'm sure Nate's gun's loaded and cocked right now.
He's a good dude. That's all.
For good reasons.
Dana are going to go have beers after this.
Say that again?
Me and Dana are going to go have beers
at
after this. He's
club?
A good dude.
By your house?
Hey, Ace of Diamonds. For Jay, Nate, Katie, Dave, we'll see you tomorrow at 6 a.m. for draft day. Jim Rome is next. The Drive, Sports 1140 KHDK.